You're listening to The Cube Show on demand. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's The Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
You know, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God wants us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I.
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Cube Show. It is Tuesday morning. Tuesday. It's the date, May 23rd. Why do we feel it necessary to give the date out? I've talked to Lance about this, and he does this. And Dunaway gives the time out. Are people that unaware of what's happening in their life?
Why'd you say Tuesday twice? Who says that?
I want to hammer it home. Hammer the day.
We know.
Like, Hugh Freeze wins the day, unless you're asking him about the NCAA. We hammer the day.
We know how miserably early it is in the week.
Ugh.
It's the thing. I've never understood, and this has been for a long, long, long time, why people, especially in radio, give out the time. It's not as if people don't have watches or cell phones, or, I don't know, clocks on their radios. Maybe people don't set their clocks.
Some of those things are hard to set. Like, have you ever gotten a new car, and then the time change happened recently after that, and you're like, ugh. Like, I still can, it takes me an hour to set the time in my vehicle right now.
You asked if I ever had a new car.
No, a car that was new to you.
Ah, no.
Trust me, I didn't get my car when it was new.
No. Listen, we can figure this out.
Change the time
after the first time, we can figure this out. No one needs to give the time anymore.
I agree.
We know what
people are just trained to do it, and they feel it's necessary. So,
yeah, I think I think we do a lot of overkill when it comes to radio. Well, not we, but I think a lot of overkill happens when it comes to radio, and I think it's because a lot of people don't have things to say, like they don't want to talk. But they were forced to talk for a living. So it's kind of this weird in between. Like, I got to fill these 3, 4, mostly 2 hours. I have to fill this time, but I don't really want to talk. So I'm going to give the phone number over and over again because that's at least 2.4 seconds I don't have to talk. If I do it twice, we're getting close to 5 or 6 seconds. And you know what? It's just my crutch. Like, my crutch is hating Tim Tebow.
We know.
But at least I'm talking about him.
I don't know if we could designate that as talking about when it's all negativity.
No, but it's usually a different negative thing that happens or a different thing that comes up to make me hate him. So that's okay. By the way, all these people who were writing articles and saying Tim Tebow ties Michael Jordan's home run mark.
They're tied.
La-di-da. Michael Jordan, the great,
considered the greatest ever.
They called him the great Bambino of the White Sox organization in the minors, not in the majors.
Hmm. Who would be the great Bambino in the majors?
That'd be Frank Thomas, probably.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But then there's Michael Jordan right below them.
AJ Pierzynski did play there. People think he's a lot better than he really is.
Oh, it was just
You notice anybody who goes and plays for the Braves, all of a sudden he's a better player than he ever was?
Well, that's because that's where the trap house
is. Like when the Upton brothers came in. Ha ha! Whoa! Wait till you see these guys. What have they done?
And I know you hated Lance for good reason, but my best friend.
Tell me I'm wrong.
That from
who
college,
has been a free agent that came into the Braves that actually ended up being better than he was perceived to be when he got there? Probably Greg Maddux is the last one.
He was
pretty good when he got there.
He was really good when he got there. He just had more time that he went with Atlanta. Was John Rocker a free agent when he came in?
No, he was brought up in the minors.
Okay.
That was back when.
We'll figure that out.
Schuerholz was running that deal.
I don't know. Jeff Blauser didn't go much further after he got to the Braves. Wasn't he a Cub also before?
Yeah,
or was he a Cub after?
Cubs spent big money on him. It was a waste.
Was that before or after?
No, he went to the Cubs after. Yeah.
After, okay. So, prime time in Atlanta. My friend from college is a huge Braves fan, and when the Upton brothers came, it was going to be Upton, and Jason Hayward. That was going to be your outfield.
Boy, Hayward was. And he came up in the minors, but he was one that was. He was the next Barry Bonds, if you recall.
My friend thought that would be a 100 home run outfield. And I didn't think that was that crazy.
All time?
I didn't think they would be that crazy until you saw Hayward injure his thumb and never be able to really swing the bat ever again.
You realize how much the Upton's struck out?
And the Upton's just. But they used to be good at homering and strikering out. That's right, strikering out. They would at least do both. They just didn't do one of them in Atlanta, and that's the homering for the most part.
I'll tell you the free agent in modern times that sort of outkicked his coverage for the Atlanta Braves that probably doesn't get enough credit for how good he was when he was there.
Okay.
Andre Scalarraga.
Former Rocky.
Well, he was probably most dominant as an Expo coming up.
I have to look at the numbers, but I seem to remember him doing pretty well with the Expos.
Your all-time home run leader in White Sox history is Frank Thomas, 448. Paul Konerko, second, 432.
Paul Konerko, baby!
How about this drop-off? From 2 to 3, Paul Konerko, 432. Harold Baines, of 221, third all-time.
Well, listen, Harold wasn't much of a banger.
He was a great hitter, though.
Oh, yeah, he hit well.
So, yeah.
Not quite the same. Listen, not every major league franchise has had the litany of guys like the Yankees and the Braves have had come through.
I just think it's great that these free agents aren't what people think.
I don't know why you say that. Bartolo Colon's been great.
Prime. You're right. Galarraga put up some big numbers in Colorado. In 96, he had 47 home runs, drove in 150 runs. 41 home runs with 140 runs driven in 97. 44 home runs in 98 with 121 runs driven in.
What's the most he had with the Braves?
28 in 2001. No, 17. 28 in 2000, 17 in 01. Drove in 100 runs in 2000. That was his best year in the Braves. Now, he probably has better numbers in Montreal just because he was there longer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, put up. So, I mean, that's, listen, 95, 96, 97, 98 in Colorado. Whew. You better be putting up some good numbers. God, he had him and Larry Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Todd Helton coming up.
Yeah, they smashed.
Nobody could get anybody out.
Well, that's always going to be the thing.
And then they got that humidor, and that solved all the problems. That solved everything.
And then everybody didn't want the humidor.
Let's talk about the fact that they put a humidor in a locker room to store baseballs before they use them in a game. How about just not play baseball there, if that's what we're dealing with?
They already built it. What do you want them to do, tear it down?
When you think about that going in, then we're going to need like a hybrid cigar shop for the umpires.
You smoke inside.
Catch up on the daily news before they put the baseballs out there.
You can play baseball inside.
You can buy the baseballs and use them.
Oh, man. It was I kind of wish we were in Colorado, like as a show. Because I feel like
it would be fun. Weed legally.
Oh, that's not what I want. I feel like it would be fun, more fun for us to go to games there than in Atlanta. Just because we're pretty much guaranteed a few home runs from somebody on either one of the teams.
Yeah, but
Were you talking pre-humidor?
We're talking right now. I mean, the team's not going to be great, but the Braves aren't great. They're still second place in the East after the win last night. A full game up now on the Mets. FYI.
Scary.
After beating the old Pittsburgh Pirates, which they'll play again tonight at 6:20 here on the Ump.
Scary stuff when you but think about that.
I think if you're going to go somewhere that is a market that has baseball, why not go to a place that you know you're going to get the entertainment value? Like if we're Yankees fans, but if we're not going to get the Yankees, why not go to a place that's going to have some pure entertainment value you know of?
Yeah, but the thing is, in Colorado, you don't have anybody who can hit them, no matter how short the porch is or how thin the air is.
Someone, they play another team. Someone's going to hit home runs most every game.
Remember when this first started happening in Colorado and we thought all the free agent boppers are going to want to go there?
Yeah, they didn't work out.
Nah. Because then you realize the other team's going to hit them out too, and you're probably not going to win a ton of games.
Would Barry Bonds have 900 home runs right now?
At least.
If he had played like the last 9 years of his
career. I actually saw him play there.
Did he hit 100 home runs that game?
No, he went 2 for 2. He's walked twice. Hit one of the hardest balls up the middle I think I've ever seen in person.
Because people say they walk him all the time in Colorado. They walk him all the time in San Francisco.
They walked him everywhere.
So it doesn't matter.
Ridiculous, yeah. If I'm a big home run hitter, like if I'm the Rob Deere coming up, especially like one of the options you're talking about, why not go play in Colorado? Get you an extra 5-10 home runs a year. Some of those warning track shots going up into the mountains and fountains and Christmas trees up there in center field.
If you could get an early free agent contract there, or if you could get drafted there and brought up, think of how big that arbitration year contract could be, and then your first big contract if you stayed in Colorado. Even if you didn't stay in Colorado,
I wonder
you
if,
got brought up there, you got your arbitration year, and then like the Mets wanted to pick you up. Well, they would see all those home run numbers and be like, this guy's clearly a bopper.
But I wonder if the franchise uses that against them. So if the Mets are offering you significant money but not as much as Colorado, they're like, listen, you're not going to hit those 15 home runs here, okay? And we're only playing there 3 games this year, so what? Maybe you get 1 or 2 more? Let's not pretend like you're going to hit 45 with us. You're not.
It's a bargaining chip, I agree. It's definitely a bargaining chip. I'm with you there. I still feel like, we used to say that baseball is like that's where you should get your guaranteed money, and it's pretty good. But basketball is about to get really ridiculous again.
It already is, but you're right. It's getting more ridiculous.
Last year we were talking about max contracts. Mike Conley getting $31 million a year. There's a chance that Isaiah Thomas next year gets $35 million, and he wouldn't even be the highest paid guy. There are super max contracts that will be up for people to sign next year.
No, we talked about this last week. When you hear people say maybe you should ship Isaiah Thomas out instead of having to dump $200 million on him, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It feels like
the lifetime contract?
It's too much money. And then you're like, well, yeah, actually, it's within the team's rights to be able to pay someone that much money. Like, we went nuts over Kershaw getting $100 million. And Bryce Harper's going to get what's he going to get after his 1 year deal next year?
Yeah, he got that arbitration year, like the largest number ever, which is what, $21 million?
Get ready for Harper and Judge, back to back.
Okay, well, I don't know if Judge is going to get those numbers yet. It's going to take him a few years.
He's not even due for another 6 days. So,
you gotta figure that out.
Let's get to 10 after tweets.
Bring me the tweets.
Chris Crow tweets in, the humidor was definitely for the players in Colorado. The altitude was just a good excuse, LOL.
Mm-hmm. You can smoke inside.
Yeah. Listen. Bill Nye, the science guy.
What?
Has no business in Major League Baseball locker rooms. Okay.
Well, he wasn't there.
Or the ESPN sports science guy, whoever was responsible for the we've got to get this going. For the win tweets, I might as well get this out of the way early today because I had to put my phone down and step away from Twitter last night. It was way too much.
Why? What happened?
Nashville fans celebrate Predators going to the Stanley Cup final by blasting Tim McGraw.
Yeah, I like it. I love it.
What else would
you do? I want some more of it.
Why else? What else would you celebrate with? I don't understand
the surprise
there.
Garth Brooks. He was in the house last night. Garth Brooks was in the house last night. That's the reason Nashville wins. I'm sorry, I mispronounced it. Smashville.
Which I guess, speaking of, we just brought this up a moment ago. I don't know if you saw this or not. I need to know if you saw this. At ESPN tweets at Yankee Stadium, quote, the judges' chambers are open. Have you seen it?
Nope. I don't even know what that means.
The Yankees actually tweeted this out. I thought it was fake, and then I looked at who was tweeting it, and it was from the team's account.
His locker room?
Oh.
You got his own locker room?
No, it's actually better.
The bathroom? He's got his own bathroom?
No, he's got his own chambers in the stands.
Oh, that's neat. It's a little adult section.
It's not neat. Listen, I love the Yankees. It's really stupid.
It's kind of neat.
They put like wood placard to, I guess, mirror the inside of a courtroom. And there's a little section of the stands that is the judges' chambers now.
That's kind of neat.
Isn't the judges' chambers behind closed doors?
Oh, you don't think that's behind closed doors?
I'm pretty sure you can see the field from there, but
doesn't mean you can,
what do I know?
Doesn't mean you can see in. Listen, not everything can be, what do you want to call it, the judge's room?
It's
neat. It's neat.
It isn't.
It is very neat. Hey, Cole, how about this? Now, in our Audible coming up in a few moments, we will have definitely a couple highlights from that game last night featuring Smashville moving on to the from the Western Conference Finals to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yay.
But this is just going to put things in a little bit of perspective for you. And again, ain't nothing better than playoff hockey. Friday, cable sports watching. This is Friday.
I doubt the second half of the Boston and Cleveland game was good.
The Pens versus Senators on NBCSN, which is the same channel that Smashville was on last night. Eastern Conference final matchup. Got 1.5 million viewers. The Cavs and Celtics, Game 2 on TNT, which featured the lowest amount of people to watch a conference finals game in over 10 years.
Yeah.
Still had over 5 million people watching it.
So
there were still nearly three times as many people watching a 44-point blowout in basketball than watching a Eastern Conference semifinal hockey game. This is what I try to tell people all the time, and Sharknado proved this to everyone. Just because Twitter's blowing up doesn't mean the world gives a rip. Now, I am actually a lot more excited about Nashville winning than Cole is, but I'm only a little excited. I think it's really cool that Nashville is making it to the Stanley Cup Final. Cole just doesn't care at all.
No.
But I'll tell you this. According to my timeline, everybody cared.
I unfollowed some people last night.
Oh, I didn't. I kept the phone on for a little bit.
How about this? Atlanta Braves, at Braves, tweets 8 hours ago, congratulations, hashtag Preds. Emoticon clapping hands. Quoting the tweet of at Preds NHL, Western Conference equals ours. Nashville Predators 2017 Western Conference champs. Hashtag ANAVSNSH. What?
ANA Anaheim is this like versus the, NSH Nashville?
The Braves are kind of like, hey, we were once the Southern bandwagon team of all time. We're glad to hand that banner over to you now.
More people are still watching the Braves than watching the Preds.
You live in the South, you should cheer for the Preds. That's the way it worked for the Braves in the mid-90s. Is that the way it should work for the Preds now?
You have no hockey team you like. You can't be happy for Nashville.
Oh, I had to listen to my father tell me about the Penguins for an hour yesterday. Trust me, I know all about the hockey playoffs. I'm responsible for finding tickets if the Penguins were to play in the Stanley Cup final in Nashville. Like, that's going to be possible. Actually, I feel like it should be, but apparently people in Nashville love this team all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, tell your dad to get on the internet.
He loves it. He loves the Penguins and he loves hockey. And I don't understand it. I'm like, I grew up in your household.
That would be kind of cool, though. Having the Penguins come down here. You watch Pittsburgh Steelers games down here at the Nissan Stadium. I mean, it wasn't Nissan Stadium when you watched them, but...
Once it was. I've seen them there a few times.
So you have seen them. You just can't be happy at all for Nashville?
No, Nashville's great. I love Nashville as a city. But I'm not okay with, hey, I'm a hockey fan all of a sudden. But listen, if it makes people happy, great. Good for you. I don't care. Just don't get mad at me because I don't think it's the coolest thing on the planet. Because it's not.
It's not the coolest thing.
I keep seeing that.
It's cool. A lot.
Because it's on
cooler.
Ice.
Well, yeah. Got to wear those sweaters inside because it's chilly.
ESPN PR tweet 16 hours ago. Longtime ESPN basketball analyst Dick Vitale has signed a contract extension with ESPN through the 2019-2020 season.
They fired 100-plus people, but they couldn't fire this guy? Dick Vitale has had as much run as anybody should have gotten on TV. Good grief. Actually, I'm not bothered by him because I don't usually listen to the analysts anymore. So,
I'm going to follow this up on a tweet you had from yesterday. Involving Alabama football, Rainer Saban, S-A-B-I-N, tweets 15 hours ago, Josh McDaniels, Adam Gase, and Brian Daboll were on Saban's staff in 99. Tide could use more pick plays in 17.
You know, here's the thing. I don't know.
Why is this a thing?
You can't.
Why is this a thing?
It's not. It shouldn't be. And what you should do is.
They could also use more bootlegs.
Control all.
They could use more RPOs.
Delete everything that was in that file. Ever. That means whoever wrote it, the company that wrote it, the server they use, the people that they paid to get their domain name, just delete everything from your life right now.
So should we go to every team that lost a game the previous year, pick the play that was most responsible for them losing that play, and say that that team could run more of that play the next year?
You know, a couple of years ago, Alabama...
Like Baker Mayfield beat Auburn on some pass protection breakdown scrambles. Should we not be writing articles that said Auburn could run more breakdown scramble plays this year? You know, it's not a call in the huddle. But if that's how we're treating college football right now, I feel like that's a fair assessment.
You know, a couple of years ago, Alabama could have used a few more missed field goal returns in their game plan.
Where were those articles?
Oh, I wrote them.
In 2014, where was the Alabama could return more field goals for touchdowns this year?
Could really use another knot. Actually, I think they got the memo and they started returning everything for touchdowns the next couple of years.
Before I dive into this, because it popped up on my timeline yesterday.
Okie doke.
Have you ever had a meal at In-N-Out Burger?
No, never been to In-N-Out.
Okay, so we're not going to have that discussion here.
No, I've had.
When you do, we'll have that
Whataburger.
Debate. We'll have that debate when you do.
Well, that means I have to travel out west.
I think they have them in Texas now.
That's west,
right? Wester.
I have to get on a plane to Texas.
College Football Talk tweets ex-UCF lineman sues athletic department over use of his name and likeness. UCF. UCF lineman. Ja Reed played for UCF from 2006 to 2010, had sued school's nonprofit athletic association as well as separate corporation led by football coach Scott Frost for improper use of his likeness. But I bet they really made a killing off that.
I don't know. If I'm
how many people are lining up to make donations for Ja Reed in his picture?
Well, not
if they mistook him for Ja Rule.
Not Ja Reed in
particular.
They're
going to the Fire concert or whatever it was that you said.
But guys like Ja Reed, like that's an offensive lineman school. They used to call UCF O-Lineman U back in the day. Back when George O'Leary was still the coach.
If anything, what would UCF be? It would have to be a quarterback school, right? Dante Culpepper?
I mean, I guess technically. Didn't they
Blake
just have
Bortles?
Another one? Yeah, Blake Bortles, yeah. I
guess it has to be.
I mean, what else do they got? So that's Cabanas in their end zones.
George O'Leary statue coming soon to a field near you?
Mm. It should have a plagiarized resume right in his hand.
Mm.
Well, listen, you can't lie about what college you went to. It's not like you can't figure that out.
All right, we'll get to a break. When we come back, the early morning audible. Arky says there will be hockey. Great. Hey, coming up on the show today, Bill Connolly of SB Nation joins us at 7:20. I don't know if you saw, he had kind of a succession of articles. He wants to run for commissioner of college football. Goes through some of the changes that he would make. What he would do as commissioner of college football. Kind of a cool story, a fun story to just throw around there as to what anyone would do if they had that title.
I'll listen to his campaign, but right now he's second on my list behind Spurrier.
Is he running for it?
No.
Has he put his name in?
No, but like if I'm having my druthers.
All right. Also, Mike Griffith of SECCountry.com, 7:40. We will rank the Big 12 coaches recruit style at 8:20 this morning. Nick Flanagan, head football coach at Randolph High School, joins us at 9 a.m. in studio. Beth Mowens at 9:20. Excited to talk to Beth. She's been doing some softball and obviously just announced that she'll have that Monday Night Football, the back end of the doubleheader to open the NFL season. Pretty cool deal there. We'll talk to her at 9:20 this morning. Before we move on, I want to tell you about our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Head over to valleyequipmentrents.com or call 256-964-6081, 256-964-6081. Storms came through again last night. We just talked about Huntsville over the weekend. A lot of folks have trees, limbs down, different things in your yard. Maybe you need some bigger equipment to handle those chores. Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call 256-964-6081. Ross and Tanner and the guys can help you with any piece of equipment that you need. There was over $1 million in brand new equipment purchased earlier this year. They're located at 3551 South Memorial Parkway, valleyequipmentrents.com. Website's been redone. Easy to manage, easy to use. You go fill out some information. A consultant from Valley Equipment Rental gets in touch with you and helps you with the equipment that you are going to need. Service second to none. Valley Equipment Rental, valleyequipmentrents.com, 256-964-6081. Let's get to the early morning audible.
Time for the Cube Show early morning audible.
Chubb's going to town. Touchdown, I think. Yeah, Chubby time, baby. Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It is grand salami time.
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35.
Yes!
He will score.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a touchdown, Kansas City.
Mr. Kublik, break it up. It is time. It is time. It's Nashville Predator time!
Yard broke. Right wing circle feature. Backdoor. Sissons scores! Colton Sissons from the bottom of the left wing circle. And the Predators have the lead again. 4-3.
That's the sound of Colton Sissons' goal in the third period to make it 4-3. The Predators would go on to win that game. Let me tell you about the Predators. Colton Sissons gets his third, fourth, and fifth goal of the postseason, makes it 4-3. Anaheim comes out and they're like, you know what, we gotta get this empty net thing going, and that's when Philip Forsberg gets himself an empty net. Check out how pumped Nashville is.
To play, Kessler with the puck. The Anaheim net is empty. Predators move the puck down ice. It's rolling towards the empty net. It's in.
Nashville and that horn are pumped. Cole Kublik, the Predators are moving on. First time ever, Nashville will find themselves in the Western Conference Finals champions and moving on to the Stanley Cup Final, which starts May 29th, one of the two. It's next week, which is good times. Cole, I know you're not as excited about that, but here's the good thing: I'll be excited for you. And that'll take Preston over there. So congratulations to Nashville. Nashville, by the way, I think is the only state with three active sports teams, pro teams, with not a championship. That could change in just a couple of weeks. Going the other way, let's take a little quick Looking who at the baseball where the Atlanta Braves are white hot, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates last night, and Matt Adams with themselves a little dinger in the fifth.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball hit in the air to right field. Hit way, way out of here. Welcome to the Chop House. I think that went up over it. That's a two-run homer for Matt Adams. First in a Braves uniform. It'll plate two. And the Braves lead is now 5-1.
Baseball has the Atlanta Braves all by themselves in the NL East in number two spot. 6.5 games back out of Washington, but one game above the Mets for number three. Now let's get to the saddest news. The Spurs are out. Wah, wah, wah.
The Warriors with their third consecutive sweep. It used to be that the West came through the Alamo. It now comes through the Golden Gate Bridge as the Golden State Warriors have beaten the San Antonio Spurs 129-115.
Yeah, not a lot to talk about with that game. It was obviously a blowout in favor of the Golden State Warriors. The one nice note from that game was to see the ovation that Manu Ginobili got last night because, well, he basically, not official, but probably has played his last game in San Antonio Spurs uniform and anywhere. And he spoke about the ovation from the crowd. I think he was taken out with about 2.5 minutes to go in the game.
I don't have a lot of words to describe it, but of course it makes you feel really well, feeling that type of appreciation, love, respect, something that, you know, we all kind of appreciate, we all look for. It's not that you go, expecting it on every step you make. When it happens on a situation like that and you receive all that without expecting it, it shakes your world a little bit. I really, really appreciate it.
It was very nice to see them give him the standing ovation. I wouldn't expect anything less from that crowd, but the worst part is that they did get swept, and Manu was asked about being swept.
It's the second time I think we got swept in 15 years, and those have been the easiest to digest because you've been overplayed. The opponent was better than us, and in this case, way better than us. When you lose by an average of 20 points per game in the last three games, you look at them in the eyes and say, congratulations, man, you beat us fair and square. You were better than us. The easiest thing to do.
Golden State scored 498 points in this four-game series, which is tied for the most in a four-game series sweep.
It's a lot.
Of all time. 498 points is absolutely bonkers. The reason it's that way is because of the three ball, which, by the way, Greg Popovich does not like.
You better be able to guard it, and you better have people that make a three because, you know, analytics, you don't have to be a genius to see what the three does. The Warriors have a multitude of people who can shoot it. That philosophically, I can still hate it, but I still have to use it. And when we've won championships, we've shot threes. One of the reasons that we won. So I guess those ideas are mutually exclusive, but I hate it, but you use it.
He hates it, but he uses it. Let's not think Greg Popovich isn't going to give some credit to the from his San Antonio Spurs to the Warriors, because he did last night. He said the Warriors team is much, much more than just the talent itself.
Maybe the best defensive team in the league on top of everything. So they don't just play with talent. They execute at the defensive end of the floor. On offense, no team is more unselfish, you know, finding the open man and that sort of thing. And so they deserve a lot more credit than, well, they're talented, they're supposed to win. That is disrespectful to them in my book. They're way, way more than just their talent.
Let's get to that winning team. Kevin Durant is no stranger to the finals, but now making it a team that is legit, maybe the greatest of all time ever.
Yeah, it's a little different, definitely. I can't lie. I went when I was 23 years old, and it felt like, you know, the Western Conference Finals was almost like the championship. You know, just getting to that point, you know how hard it is and how much work you put in to start the season. So it's a little different now, obviously. You know, we have a bigger goal than mine.
Are we definitely not calling him Durantula anymore?
I haven't heard it in a long time.
Because I really, really miss the name Durantula. Kevin Durant was also...
Which I'm okay with, by the way. Because how many points does a tarantula score? And are they known from doing things from long distance? Did he look like a spider?
Interesting point. Okay. All right. Well, Kevin Durant was also asked about...
I'm going to call him Dracula. I mean, if it's just like... If it's similar phonics in the word.
I don't know, but it's...
Durango.
It's better than the servant, which he tried to push on us. He was also asked about playing without his coach again, Steve Kerr.
Coach Brown is just an extension of Coach Kerr, and the rest of the coaching staff is the same way. And us as players, we know what we have to do. We're a veteran group. We've been talking about it all season, and we know what coach expects of us. So it's good to see him travel with us. It's good to see him and hear his voice in the locker room. Definitely want him healthy. But, you know, the message is always there. It's always the same, and his presence is always the same.
And I want to just get this out there. The New York Yankees won last night thanks to a Chris Carter home run in the bottom of the seventh.
0-1, swung on, hit high in the air to deep left. Back goes Bonifacio. He's on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. Well, Chris Carter comes through and gives the Yankees a little breathing room.
Now, I know you may be disappointed John Sterling didn't give us what he wanted, but in our phone restore call of the day, there was another home run in the Yankees game by a man named Didi Gregorius.
Oh, those are always good.
And
I know where that one's going.
He's going to make sure we are all good. All good.
We'll take a break, come back, get physical next right here on Q. Welcome back in, Cube Show. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Every morning we like to sort of keep you up to date on who's hurt, who's healthy, who's injured. That's why we get physical. I get no doubt, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get no
doubt, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. Cole, Sacramento, California is where I would like to take you this morning.
Please do.
Where a man was sickened by nacho cheese, and sadly he has since passed away. Apparently from a botulism outbreak. Here's the wild thing to happen. A botulism outbreak, which has been linked to contaminated nacho cheese dip, sold at a Northern California gas station, has taken one man and nine other people have been hospitalized. The spokesman for the California Department of Public Health declined to release any other information about the weeks-old outbreak. Apparently, texts have confirmed that the botulism toxin was present in the nacho cheese dip that was sold at a gas station in the Sacramento suburb of Walnut Grove. It was dated. Any chance you're getting anything nacho cheese heated up, made at a gas station?
I am not a fan of... I don't do much cheese anymore regardless because I try to do paleo. It doesn't work very often. Obviously, you can tell by the muffin tops that I'm sporting daily.
Yeah.
But
so obese.
If I do cheese,
which is what this was.
Off-brand ghetto nacho cheese is not the direction I think I can make myself go.
Not from a gas station?
Yeah. Has it been remodeled recently? That might help.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, have you ever had those nachos? You know the ones I'm talking about. Whether it was when the Huntsville Stars were in town, always stale, cheese always cold, never tasty. Gas station, ballpark. That nacho, the round, the circular tortilla chips, which if you get tortilla chips that are shaped in a circle, that's your first mistake. Those are never good. Never had a good one of those. Have you ever had a tortilla chip shaped like a circle that tasted good? No, it needs to be triangular or else it's not a real tortilla chip. I don't know why it works that way. I don't know why that is, but that's the reality of the situation.
It's just science.
Have you ever had orange melted cheese that's been tasty?
It's been light orange, dark yellow.
So from a ballpark dispenser, gas station dispenser, that kind of stuff. Non-Mexican restaurant cheese dip.
No. You shouldn't do it. You should be very careful.
And you damn sure shouldn't consume so much of it that it kills you.
Or happen to have the one that was linked to botulism.
Yeah, well.
Careful on that one.
That one usually will get you in trouble. I mean, think about it. Some of these things that we talk about here in our Getting Physical segment come down to common sense a lot of times.
I've had chicken fingers from a gas station once. My wife told me never do that again. My wife told me that, and so did my back end. Told me never do that again. So I'm going to listen to him. You eat food made at a gas station? Last time you did that. You had to have done that. You were wild as a college kid. Come on.
I've done I've done some. I've done breakfast before. Now, there are some gas station biscuits that are not terrible, I would assume.
You're assuming. Right? I've never had this. I've only had one place, one time, had chicken fingers made at the gas station.
Trying to think the last time I had like real food at a gas station.
And I regret it. Hey, tweet in if you've had gas station food that was cooked at the gas station that you're okay with. Because they do those hot dogs in the rotisserie all the time.
Stop it.
They do those.
People do think that the Hunt's Brothers pizza that a lot of gas stations serve. People swear by that.
Well, it's hard to mess up pizza in general.
Don't get me going on this now. Not all pizza is good pizza.
You can have great pizza, but it's hard to have bad pizza. Because pizza itself is really kind of hard.
Now you're talking about pizza like you are Bama defensive linemen. They're just all great because they fall under that category.
Some are greater. There's Jonathan Allen's, and then there's